God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to start out with a few statistics for you. According to the Nielsen Report 2012, the average American watches 34 hours of television a week. That's 4 to 5 hours a day. Average American listens to 2.5 hours of music a day, watches 20 to 30 movies at the cinema a year, is exposed to 625 commercials a day, according to another report. Average American youth ages 8 to 18, how many hours do you think a day they spend on electronic devices, smartphones, internet, etc.? Videos?
26.
26 hours a day. Close. 7.5 hours a day. And today I want to ask you this question. Do you think any of this might affect a person's Christian faith or not? Do you think if you watch, listen to, and engage such things multiple hours a day, it might affect your mind, your outlook, your faith? How much? None at all? A little bit? A lot? Well, I ask this today because I think it's a huge part of our culture. It's a big part of even our lives. And the Holy Spirit says something to us very important in Romans chapter 12. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit says to us right now. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so, I want to ask you, are you daily being transformed by God into the image of Jesus Christ, or daily conformed to the world? How much does what you set before your eyes, let go into your ears, think about and set your mind upon affect your faith in Christ? Does what you watch on TV and listen to on the radio, experience at movies, strengthen your faith or weaken it? Work with God or against Him? Transform you or conform you? So today, let's take a look at this together. Let's see in what ways we need to be alert with respect to the entertainment industry. What's God say to us about this in His holy word? Well, first thing God says to us today is something absolutely great. He says, "My ultimate goal, day and night with you, is to transform you into the image of my beloved Son, Jesus Christ." Isn't that fantastic news? God's aim in your life is to make you into the perfect image of Christ. And where do we read this? Well, we've just read it in Romans chapter 12. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." You can also look in Romans chapter 8. "Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And then also in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, "The Lord is a Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another." So would you say God's aim in life is in your life is great? He's changing you to make you fantastic, a child of God, His own Son in His image. And God commands us, therefore, in Scripture with this verse from Ephesians chapter 4. Because we participate in this, you know. And He says, verse 22, "Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Is God daily transforming you? Or are you being conformed to the world? I think it's absolutely fantastic that God saved us when we were conformed to the world. When we are evil, lustful, wicked, all those things, even then God loved you. He sent his son to be your savior. Jesus died on the cross for you to forgive your sins, reconcile you to God, reckon you righteous by faith, save you by grace. So God saves sinners, amen? But he doesn't want to be forever the God of sinners. Once he saves you, he wants to be the God of righteous people. And he begins the process, once you're saved, of chiseling you, polishing you, daily molding you, and chipping away at you by trials, by joyful times in life, by the ups and downs of life, by hardships and calamities, all the while as a master craftsman making you to be like Jesus, his son. And so that is a fantastic thing. He wants you to be courageous. He wants to make you a person pure of heart, with noble thoughts and a joyful spirit. He wants your hearts to be trained heavenward, to be noble, to be slow to anger and forgiving, to be strong, to be wise, to be with your eyes on God and brimming over with love. This is in God's mind, and he's doing it in the lives of Christians. We have this confidence that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that's fantastic news. So God's aim is to and goal is to transform you. But the second thing he says is, beware. For Satan, my enemy, also has a goal. To stop my work and to conform you to the world and into his own image. For the devil, if you think about it, is a great counterfeiter, isn't he? He's always trying to mimic God in an evil way. And he wants to make you like himself. He wants you to be full of evil. The devil wants you to be full of lustful thoughts, greed, pride, selfishness, self-reliance, deceit, murder, unbelief, rebellion. And he tries everything he can to destine you downward, to steal your crown and rob you of your faith. And Jesus said of the Jews in his day, you're of your father, the devil, because your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer and a liar, right? And so Jesus says, like father, like son, the devil has his children too in his image. And that's what he wants to do with Christians too. He wants to draw you away and hinder God transforming you. He wants to conform you into his own image and to the world. And I want to tell you, he's very dangerous. And he's alive and working in the world because, you know what? Even a third of the angels in heaven followed him. He was so seducive and conniving, subtle. He's dangerous. Many people that once were in Christ are no longer in Christ because of his deceptions. And many people who are in Christ today are weak in their faith because of his relentless pursuit of souls. How about you? But you must resist him, God says. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will what?
Flee.
If you resist him, submitting to God. So, what's all this have to do with the entertainment industry, you might say? To movies, to internet, to music, and to video games, and things we listen to. Well, the Holy Spirit says, remember, your faith is built up on what goes into your eyes, what goes into your ears, and what you set your mind upon. Let me prove this to you, okay? Let's take a look at the ears. Remember Romans chapter 10, what's Paul say? Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching or word of Christ. Where do you get faith? By what goes in here, right? I look, you know, pretty weird here, but. And it also transforms you. The more you hear this word going in the ear, the more it changes you, that's God's work, into the image of Christ. How about your eyes? Jesus says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son, the eyes of faith, and believes on him should have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Would you say what goes into your eyes is important? It says in the Psalms, I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. Rather, God wants us to set our eyes, and the eyes of our heart especially, on noble things and the things of God. This transforms us. As Paul says in Corinthians, we behold the glory of God with unveiled face of the Lord. We're being changed as we look at him into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. How about your mind? what you set your mind on. Do you think that has any impact on your Christian faith? Let's see what God says in the Bible. Romans 8, verse 29. 29. Paul says, it's not 8 to 29, it's 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So would you say the mind is important? What you set your mind on? Do you know that Paul gave this warning? He says, brethren, imitate me, for many of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even with tears, live now as enemies of the cross, ones that were once with him. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set upon earthly things. These are people who fell away, with minds set on earthly things. And he says, but our commonwealth is in heaven, mind on heavenly things, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So would you say it's important then what goes under your eyes? Yes? Say yes.
Yes.
How about what goes into your ears?
Yes.
How about what goes into your mind?
Yes.
And do you know what the devil's goal is? To flood your eyes, to bombard your ears, and to penetrate your heart with the ungodly things of this world, in order to conform you into the image of the world. And do you think he might use entertainment to do that? If you look at the entertainment industry, do you think when you watch those things that he saturates your senses as much as he possibly can? Visual images, songs where you're listening to and you're saying, oh, great beat, great beat. And you realize you're singing about sleeping around, getting arrested, getting drunk, adultery, but you're going right along. It's going in there. You're not paying attention, right? He wants to fill you guys with lusts. He wants to fill you with evil, with pride, with relying on yourself. Look at all the heroes in movies. They don't rely on God. They rely on themselves. With pride, worldly glory, mistrust, and all things evil, violence. The entertainment industry might seem to be a great tool then in his hand. Might he be working today in these things to deceive souls, to bind people in sin like never before, to confirm them in unbelief and ungodly mindsets? Think about it. What do you think? How's he doing? Pretty good. Pretty well, actually. Just think of the power of suggestion, if you will, about internet, movies, music. You ever go on the internet and all of a sudden they're popping up flashing images all along the side, scantily clad babes in bikinis? Even when you were trying to look up something noble, what's happening? Is there a spirit behind this to conform you to the world? Think about the power of suggestion in the entertainment industry. Put a child in front of a TV set and instantly he's entranced. His eyes glaze over. And he becomes his mind blank and receptive. You know, I totally dig this at Vacation Bible School each year. The kids come in totally uncontrollable, popcorn bouncing on the stove, turn on that little video camera, and I got a frozen pond in the dead of winter. What a better time, though, for the mind to be trained, for images to be placed in there, just little suggestions to conform the mind to the world. And might he not be doing that same kind of thing with us adults? Are we any better to that glowing tube and its music and images? The Nielsen Report, let's go back to that again for a second. Average American youth watches 1,200 hours of television a year. Might it have any effect, do you think? If you break that into 12-hour days, that's 100 days a year. That means a third of the year, they're doing nothing but day, 12 hours watching television or some other such thing. And Would you say, what kind of suggestions flood their minds in these times? Are they things that build the soul up, lift it to God, transform into the image of Christ? Or drag them down to worldly glory, to greed, to covetousness, lust, and pride? You all know it's on TV and in rock songs. The Nielsen Report also says that the average American child sees 16,000 30-second commercials per year. 16,000 30-second commercials? Yeesh. What are these people, what are these teaching? Average American child by age 18 has witnessed 150,000 acts of violence. And will this leave them unchanged? Is it neutral? Is it harmless? Is it idle? Is it idle for us? Is the entertainment industry teaching a beguiling youth? And are we immune to it as adults? As the little child song goes, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. The Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And my aim today, I just want to tell you, is not to be a legalist. I'm not going to sit up here, stand up here, and say, you can't watch movies, or you can watch this, you can't watch that. You're free to do whatever you wish. But what I am telling you and saying is we should not be like dumb cattle being led forth to the slaughter, but sons of light with a heavenly brightness to our eyes, discerning right from wrong. That's what God wants for us. And I feel it's my duty to warn you that there is a spirit at work in the world behind all these things. Just imagine when you go to the movies and you watch some spectacular explosions and fantastic sights and engaging music. You know, if you could turn down all that spectacular and dull it out, do you think that underneath all that you'd hear this low hum of an engine driving it all? Of a spirit at work behind these things to flood your eyes, penetrate your mind, and bombard your ears with the things of this world? Well, I say that there are only two spirits at work in the world ultimately. The spirit of God to build you up, to save you, and to do great things, and the spirit of evil to tear you down. And what I'm saying to you today is be alert and be discerning. For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that's from God, that we might discern the things given to us by God. An unspiritual person does not understand, cannot, because these things are spiritually discerned, right? The spiritual man judges everything. And we have the mind of Christ. Do you judge everything that comes your way? Do you guard the walls of your city, only letting in those who are friendly to your king? Are you letting in all kinds of invaders in there, subtly, seductively? We should be children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, says the Bible. Among whom you shine as stars in the world, holding fast the word of life. What I say then to you is, as you watch and listen and view all these things in entertainment, fine. But ask yourself and spend a moment, how about with your spouse or with a friend after the movie, and ask, what did we just watch? Or the song on the radio. What did I just listen to? And ask, was that making me stronger in my faith in Christ or weaker? Because I want to warn you about something. And this is something you need to hear. The devil is the most subtle of all creatures. The most subtle. I'm afraid that many of us are bamboozled out of our faith or made weak with a rug pulled out from under us without even realizing it. You think that could happen? Amen? Well, the devil, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. And he came to the woman and said, did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Is he overtly bad? No, he's coming in. Oh, it's just a thought. Just a suggestion. Just a question. Innocent enough. Right? But all along, what is he trying to do? Planting seeds. Seeds of doubt. She barely even sees it. He's sprinkling them on our soul, and they start to germinate. He starts to entice her eyes. Look at this fruit. It looks good. And it's a delight to the senses, let's say to the ears. And her mind begins to imagine what it might taste like. The eyes, the ears, the mind. And when it is planted and grows, soon she grasps it, and he's got her. And then he comes out overtly and says, a lie. God is holding out on you. You will not die if you eat this fruit. Do you notice how he's doing that in our culture? Little by little, sprinkling a little here, a little there, and finally in 2013, we're talking same-sex marriage and lesbian acts on television and stuff like that. Things we would never have accepted years ago so easily, but he's getting more bold because it's growing. And so, you ever watch a movie where the hero is a good compared to the bad guys, right? But he still sleeps around with a girl, just a little. He still lies, just a little. He still engages in some acts of violence, just a little. But then you start, when you watch a movie, when I watch a movie, man, I get into it. I come out of the movie theater, I'm like, yeah! Because I've lived in that reality. It's affected my mind, my eyes, my ears. I'm just saying, be alert about these things. Don't be like cows who are being dumbly led to the slaughter, but be alert. You might say, but Pastor, you're totally going overboard, man. You are an alarmist. This isn't really that bad. It hasn't affected me so much. You're a prude. Well, I'm not a prude, but I am seeking to be prudent. And I want you guys to be prudent too. You know that in World War II, 15 to 20% of World War II soldiers didn't fire at an enemy even if the enemy was coming right at their face? As long as they saw him. You can kill him at a distance, but once you see him, they wouldn't shoot. Only 15%, 20 did, according to Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, a military historian, psychologist, and teacher at West Point, because man, he says, has an aversion to killing other human beings. Goes into war. He wouldn't even kill another to save his own life. Do you think the military liked this? No. So what did they do? They started training their soldiers, not like in World War II, to shoot at bullseyes, but they made silhouettes of humans to shoot at. They started desensitizing them, getting used to it. And other technology. By Vietnam, 90% of soldiers were shooting to kill another man the first time they saw him in battle. And then by now, our days, it's 100%. 15% to 100%. How? What's the military do today? Videos, simulated war. Virtual reality games, and pretty soon you take a man who does not want to kill, and he is now okay with killing. And the military needs to do that. I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, but what my point is you got to know the power of suggestion. Visual imagery, virtual reality is great to change a person, to change you, and to change me. So we got to be alert about that. If our youths are watching 150,000 acts of violence on TV and movies by the age of 18, and if my nephews were playing a war game, like Navy SEAL video game, I watched it. I couldn't play it. Because you know what they did for about 4 hours? Boom, 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 and totally realistic blood spattering all over the place. Do you think that's changing them? Do you think that's doing something to them? Is it any wonder then that you have high school and college massacres today? Or youth delving into occultic magic with things like Harry Potter and such, vampires, lustful promiscuity, and all the other things we mentioned. How about rock songs, TV commercials, movies to desensitize us to sexual immorality or to arouse? How many innuendos do you think there are every day that way? I'm so glad they changed that billboard over on Courtney on Merritt Island. You know, now it's just some, you know, picture of, I don't know, a soda. But I didn't want to look at a woman in a bikini on my way home. I was thinking wonderful, noble thoughts. And then there she flashes, and I'm like, ah, that's not what I want to be thinking. But you see how it's everywhere in our culture? Bam, 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 bam. We're like a fortified city. There are rockets and arrows flying in all over. There are strangers knocking at our doors. We need to be careful to let only in those who are friendly to our king, to build us up. God says, how can a man keep his way, young man keep his way pure? I know, by guarding it according to thy word. I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Don't desire her beauty in your heart, or let her capture you with her eyelashes. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. I'll not beset before my eyes anything that is base. This is what the Holy Spirit wants for you and for me, because he aims to build you up, to do great things for you, to make you a fantastic son of God, and to give you all courage and purity of heart and nobleness and fantastic things in your life. But the devil aims to tear you from these. And what I'm saying to you also is glean out of the good, out of what you can, and avoid the evil. You can watch a regular movie of the world. Like, I don't watch a lot. We don't have really TV, but I love the British Sea Captain, you know, Horatio Hornblower, right? You've seen some of those? What I like about it is the guy's daring. He lives by duty. He keeps his word. Even when he escaped, he returned to the prison because he had to keep his word. He was a great leader. He looked after his men. He lived by honor. He was daring, effective, victorious, and he got worldly glory. Now, I watched that movie, and you know what? In my Christian faith, I ask afterwards, does that help me? Actually, I feel uplifted in my Christian faith when I watch that movie. You know why? Because I say, as a pastor, you know what I want to be? I want to live by duty. I want to live by honor. I want to keep my word. I want to look after my men. I want to be courageous and daring and effective. And I want to be in service to my king and country above, and to be victorious, even more than a conqueror, through him who loved me. And not for worldly glory and accolades, but for the unfading crown of glory, which has no end. So you can take a regular movie or whatever from the world and translate it if it lifts up your faith. But beware the one that tears you down, for there are 1,000 arrows and rockets launched against us daily. Strangers knock at our gates of our eyes, our ears, our mind. Allow none in but those who are friendly to our king. And ask yourself, ask your spouse, ask your friend, what did I just watch? What did I just listen to? What did we just hear? And what was it teaching us? Did it make me stronger in my faith? Did it inspire me to be transformed into the image of Christ, or conform me to the world? And beware, for many of the evil one's suggestions go unnoticed. So be on guard. And finally, the Holy Spirit says to us this, the good news. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For we have died, and our life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you'll also appear with him in glory. And finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter till full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. Set your eyes on Jesus. He's the righteous one, ever pure, ever noble, ever good, ever living and dying to save his people, strong against his enemies, ever kind and ever forgiving, ever loving us. And he gave his life at great cost to gain you an eternal victory and crown of glory. And he's coming again. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Amen.